Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The voice of the American Redoubt. You are listening to Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt inside the wire in Patriot-held territory. Thank you guys all for listening and for tuning in. This is episode 19-30, the 30th podcast of 2019. And hopefully you guys are having a blessed weekend and safe. And if you stayed away from Portland, well, you're probably as happy as can be and safe as well. So, man, a lot's going on. It is just amazing, a beautiful summer here in the Free Zones. And we're just really enjoying it. You know what? I got my favorite melon is honeydew. But I went and bought a watermelon. And it is just perfect weather for it. It's just so refreshing. I don't know why I mentioned that, but it was just so, it takes you back to your childhood, doesn't it? That kind of stuff. I just absolutely love it. Well, hey, I want to, get right into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, where you can go to 299days.com to learn more about getting all 10 books about the fictional story of the collapse and the rebuilding, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the silver lining on, you know, a lot of dystopian novels are just, dark societal collapse, but they rarely address what I like to talk about, the rebuilding on the other side, building anew. And I like it. Check it out, 299days.com. Now, I want to start off today's show by thanking. I want to express my gratitude to the Seattle Times and the Spokesman Review and Crem2 News and any of the other willing Marxist collaborators for all the new listeners to Radio Free Redoubt. Once again, the smear piece on Representative Matt Shea that people are just getting tired of. It's just tired and almost boring to see the leftist biased media continuously rake conservatives over the coals, all the way from President Trump all the way down to our local or regional leaders that are standing for the fight, standing up for Christian values. Well, my name gets dragged into this as well because Representative Matt Shea is a friend of mine, and we correspond on various different things. And so when they run a smear piece, sometimes I get dragged into it as well. Now, I can't take all the glory and all the credit like, oh, they're targeting me, because really they're targeting Matt. But I have reaped the benefits of that because patriots are seeing through the garbage, the yellow journalism, the smear pieces for what they are. And it's not the conservatives like you and me who are causing the division. We are conservative American patriots, and we go on living our lives, and we want to preserve the values and our heritage that made this country what it is, exceptional like it is. And others want to come along and change it, and we say no, we don't want to change. We don't want to veer to the left. We don't want socialism. We don't want Marxism. And they point at us and say, you're causing division. There's so much hate inside of you. How could you do this horrible, evil thing and have these evil, horrible thoughts, and saying that we're the ones causing the division? But actually, it's the left causing the division, and it's creating a polarizing, if not balkanizing, effect. And so every time now, increasingly so, whenever the left runs another boring hit piece, but a blatant smear campaign. More listeners are saying, hey, I saw you. I looked you up. I saw the Radio Free Redoubt was mentioned. I've heard of it before, but I saw it in this article, and so I went and looked it up, and I love what you have to say, and thank you for speaking the truth and standing on these principles. So it's actually adding to the listenership, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. We're in it. We are in the fight. This is, you always wondered, we go back to the 1980s, and Red Dawn was our model for what it would look like when American patriots fight the communists, right? But it's not an invasion of troops that are parachuting in. They've infiltrated in just as it was promised to us decades ago. And now they're here. They've worked their way into our institutions. This is the Maoist insurgency model, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in this part three of the enemies within series that we're going through right now here at Radio Free Redoubt. So you can go back to our Podbean site and listen to the first two episodes over the last couple of weeks. Part one, part two is already up at our Podbean site. And of course, you can always go to the highlights and resources posting for each show that we put up at Radio Free Redoubt. .com. So I took the long way around getting to the news and commentary, but that was in the news. Seattle Times, Washington State Representative Matt Shea endorsing training children to fight in a holy war, the news article headline reads. Of course, those of us that are on the inside of this and know the people that are involved know this to be a lie, that these kids were going through a Christian-based, well, kind of like ROTC. You learn land navigation. You learn hand-to-hand combat, just like so many of our kids that take Taekwondo or karate or something. They're shooting the AR-15s using squad tactics. And it's adventuresome. It's something that young boys would love to do. But then they also integrate scripture through that. You know, I mean, like we've said, put the latte down, put the soy latte down and pick up a rifle, right? Be a man. Well, we need to start raising young men and get them off the video games and put the soy down and teaching our children how to field strip an AR-15 and reassemble it and do a proper functions check on it. Same thing with a Glock handgun or whatever your preference is. You know, how to build a fire, how to use a map and compass, how to put on a pressure dressing, a field dressing. These, you know, get them outside. And this was just, that's what this program was all about. Of course, they did an airsoft war and little battle. And it's a good team building and morale building. And it's just a shame how they just demonized these kids, but they're young, they're the next generation of Christian warriors, right? And so we better attack them now. So kids, hey, you got your first taste of what a modern fight with communism really looks like. It doesn't look like Red Dawn. This is the reality of it that we face every day. So sorry you got your punched in the mouth, you know, at such a young age, but it was coming eventually. So this is what it looks like to be at war with communists and Marxists. And the media are the mouthpieces for their agenda. So there you go, young boys and girls. Hope it was probably a little bit of a painful lesson, but it was probably one that will do you good in the long run anyway. Get the shock out of your system now. Let's go to international news from the Daily Caller. This is amazing. In Hong Kong, anti-fascists wave American flags. They demand freedom and actually fight real fascists. And this is something that Crenshaw said. And Dan Crenshaw, there we go, Texas. He points this out, and I've seen the videos. This is amazing. They're singing the national anthem, wearing American flags, standing firm against a communist government over there in Hong Kong, and they're getting the beat down. They're crying out for freedom and waving the American flags. Meanwhile, in American streets in Portland, they're burning American flags, holding their middle finger up to authorities. They're trying to restore peace, and they're saying that capitalism has killed more people than communism. That's delusional. But that's what's happening on the streets in America right now. So, and that's also what's happening over in Hong Kong right now. See the contrast? Very interesting to watch people that are living under communism see what the beacon on the hill is in the United States, and they're waving the American flag. Meanwhile, we have socialist, globalists and socialists pushing an agenda, trying to invade our borders, where they're tearing down our flags and putting up the flags of their homeland, their home country, not wanting to assimilate, and demanding socialist benefits. Peace through firepower category of the news. This ought to really torque the Chinese as well. The U.S. government is moving ahead with the sale of F-16 fighter jets to Taiwan. U.S. government is moving ahead with that. That just came out. Their air defenses are set for a major upgrade as the United States plans to sell 66 F-16V fighter jets worth $8 billion. The president of Taiwan said that while answering reporters' questions following a visit to a local tech company in the city of Taichung, he said the arms purchase is an energy boost in national capability for the purpose of maintaining peace. There we are, the old principle of maintaining peace through superior firepower. So that should add as somewhat of a deterrent. Of course, China, you know, has, you know, cranking these things out like Pez dispensers. I mean, they're tanks and planes and bombs and everything else. But anyway, I thought that was noteworthy, in the news. From Town Hall, they did not really do a great job of covering the Antifa protests in Portland over the weekend. We were watching that very closely. It pretty much went down as I expected, although I think it's a matter of time before people don't just get hurt but get killed. And I'm wondering, as things escalate, when these things are going to turn into gun battles in the streets of America. And it'll probably start somewhere in Portland. God forbid. But the way things are going, as violent as they're getting, the story reads, the Proud Boys, which are right-wing conservatives, and Antifa, which are left-wing not conservatives, descended on Portland on Saturday to protest, both for different reasons. The Proud Boys were protesting Antifa's violent ways, especially after the group attacked conservative journalist Andy Ngo in June, and they pulverized him. Speaking of that, that was the last story posted over at the Rhino Pack's Stark Raving Mad page. They haven't updated that since, so we don't have one for tonight. We'll just keep checking back. The leftist group has become known for being violent with those they deem to be white supremacists, which is pretty much anybody who voted for Trump. Antifa showed up to counter-protest. Not surprisingly, though, Antifa became violent. A group of Antifa protesters were screaming at police, with one guy even yelling at officers to commit suicide. All right. What they didn't cover, speaking of Andy Ngo, just G-N-O, Ngo, he's a, I don't know, is he Indonesian background, American conservative, Trump supporter, was running a Twitter page, which I was following, and it was showing multiple attacks that never made any news, not even many of the conservative news sites. Attacks on multiple vehicles with rocks and concrete, pepper spray, multiple assaults on conservatives and other unknown political affiliated. They were attacking journalists that were saying, hey, I support you guys, but you're white and you're a journalist. So you're a racist. So we're still going to kick your butt because you're a journalist. And we've been trying to find a conservative journalist to beat up and we can't find one. So you'll do right as they're beating up those that are claiming to be leftist journalists. Hey, I'm on your side here. I'm trying to get your, and they beat him up anyway, which is also very interesting because most of the Antifa are white. Of course, covered up with black masks and black hoodies and everything else. They're just, this is the lunacy of our cities today. You completely irrational behavior. Irrational. And CNN found it controversial that Trump wants to brand Antifa as terrorists. This is over at newsbusters.com. with Antifa still assaulting and harassing peaceful right-wing marchers. And there were people that were just peacefully walking along holding American flags, and they got pounded on, just like the police and journalists. But she was saying that simply calling Antifa a far-left organization, you know, do you think that this is she was concerned that this was controversial, that President Trump would call Antifa, call for them to be labeled as a terrorist organization. But that's the mentality. That's CNN thinking for you. There should be no question. They're trying to advance a political agenda through force, coercion, or, you know, the threat of force or the use of force, and in this case, using force and violence. That is terrorism or an ideology or political. Of course, they're calling for revolution, and all their material has communist revolutionary material. Wearing Che Guevara shirts. I mean, could it be any clearer? I guess it couldn't be any clear. It has to be made much more clear for CNN. From the Stop Sniveling and Embrace the Conquerors You Begged For category of the news, out of the Voice of Europe, in Austria, Muslim drivers are refusing to take blind people and their unclean guide dogs in taxis. Taxi drivers in Austria refuse to transport blind people with guide dogs despite the fact that it violates the law. Well, it doesn't violate Sharia law, so it doesn't matter. The reason is that Allah has branded dogs as impure. Of course, I thought anybody that wasn't a Muslim was impure as well. But anyway, I guess that's as far as they want to go. They're not really into, you know, killing infidels yet. They just won't transport them in their taxis because I guess there's still money to be made from hauling the infidels around. They haven't quite gotten to that point yet in their al-Hijra. Of course, this is a cultural jihad, slow taking over of the country through planned migration. But let's go to Redoubt News. There is a video, great video, that's posted over at Redoubt News of Dr. Duke Pesta. He's an associate professor of English at the University of Wisconsin. He also serves as a policy advisor with the Heartland Institute. But the video is titled Oregon. They're next. Washington's trying to lead the way. Oregon requires LGBT history in K-12 civics and geography classes. Geography classes. LGBT has to be taught in geography now. I don't know. I don't know how geography is going to apply. I suppose I could use my imagination. Really don't want to think about it. But there you go. All right, now let's take a break. Alert USA weekly summary intelligence briefing. They did get one up yesterday, so I'm going to air that for you at the end of tonight's show, but I'm going to give you a little bit, about 90 seconds to a minute and 45 second teaser from this week's weekly summary intelligence briefing, or the intelligence threat report. From Alerts USA. And then we come back, we'll continue on with the part three of The Enemies Within here at Radio Free Redoubt.
This is an Alerts USA Threat Journal, Homeland Security Weekly update for Saturday, August 17th, 2019. This week in security news. On 8 occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. Most important for this report, on Wednesday, subscribers were notified of reports of an active shooter situation unfolding near Temple University's Health Sciences Center in Philadelphia. The incident began when police officers attempted to serve a narcotics arrest warrant at a residence in the northern part of the city. Soon after entering the home, a gunman opened fire. Two officers were trapped upstairs in the dwelling for hours before they were eventually freed, along with three civilians, by police tactical teams. In the course of the 7-hour armed standoff, 6 police officers were wounded during multiple exchanges of gunfire. The suspect, who allegedly live-streamed some of the shootout to Facebook, eventually surrendered. He has been identified by his attorney as 36-year-old Maurice Hill, a black male with a history of gun, drugs, and assault convictions. Unbelievably, video captured during the standoff shows neighborhood residents expressing hostility and antagonism towards the police, including groups confronting, shoving, laughing, and yelling at them in the midst of gunfire. Even more disturbing, a rally was scheduled for Friday evening in the same neighborhood in support of the shooter, along with demands for his release. Organizers of the protest say law enforcement are a, quote, occupying military force in the black community. Quoting Philadelphia's police chief Richard Ross, "I don't understand it. There's certain marches I do understand. This is definitely not one of them." This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, August 17th, 2019.
We're back, and this is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated into the free zones. If you're trying to get out of occupied territory or maybe go more remote, if you're looking at the panhandle of Idaho, especially up in the northern part, up in Boundary County, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, that's their turf. So check them out, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. And also, I zipped into Sandpoint yesterday to meet up with some folks. We were talking about, emergency communications in the event of, disasters, forest fires, and got to meet some really neat people. But also, one of the folks that was there was one of the organizers for the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. So I wanted to remind you about that also in Sandpoint. We will be there. 2 days of preparedness workshops, talks, and vendor exhibits at the fairgrounds, September 21st and 22nd. So mark your calendars. It'll be from 9 to 5, both Saturday and Sunday. And Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, I will be there. We've got the author that we mentioned last week from Tahoma's Hammer. He will be there as well. And I don't want to mess up his name because I don't have it right in front of me. And I'm just having a total went blank. So anyway, I've been mentioning him the last couple of weeks. So he'll be there. And oh, shoot, there'll be a whole bunch of good stuff going on there. Okay, so let's talk about part three of Enemies Within. We've been talking about the insurgency, subversion, and the internal conflict in the United States. And kind of projecting, where that could go, identifying what we're up against right now. We've talked about the Saul Alinsky tactics of choosing a target. These are communist tactics of choosing a target, attacking the target, make exaggerated, outlandish accusations against that target, make them defend themselves or apologize. And then once they do, it's not good enough. It's never good enough. The whole thing is to fix them and finish them. So that's what we're seeing happen against President Trump and against several conservative elected officials and anybody that might be considered, a threat to the Marxist agenda. They are attacking heavily. They choose the target and they just keep hammering on it to try to destroy it. So what's going on, though, is subversion. And this is what we've talked about. Subversion is the act or the instance of subverting or overthrowing a legally constituted government institution, etc. It is something that brings about an overthrow. That's subversion. Subversion is illegal. It means to overthrow or to undermine. Title 18, Code 2384 covers seditious conspiracy. So when we point these things out, they'll say, oh, you believe in this conspiracy theory, which the FBI just put out a memo, some holdover from the previous administration, still lurking somewhere in the shadows of the FBI. Hey, FBI, if you could try to root these individuals out, they are promoting, they're helping to keep alive this Marxist agenda within your ranks. Please root them out and get them out immediately. Go back to what you were good at when you used to hunt down communists like in the 50s and 60s. Well, they're there now, and they're actually among your ranks. They're calling those of us who are identifying these threats as conspiracy theorists and potential domestic terror threats. So get on that, please. What they are doing is actually subversion, and it is against the law. It's called seditious conspiracy, and also advocating the overthrow of government, which is exactly what Marxism and Islam, their core doctrine states that that is what their motives are. So we've covered that in 2385, U.S. 18 Code. Whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, abets, advises, or teaches the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying, and overthrowing, of course, means subverting, subversion, of the United States or the government or any state or territory by force or by the assassination of any officer of such government. Whoever with intent to cause the overthrow or destruction of any such government. And that's what they were doing. They're attempting to cause the destruction. They want to destroy America and Americanism and replace it with Marxism, with socialism, which is un-American. What they're doing is illegal. There's Title 18 U.S. Code clearly states that this is criminal, what they are doing. So I want to bring us to, and of course, we also talked about desinformatia, you know, disinformation, which the media is complicit in. Now, yesterday I covered in the show exposing some of the individuals in the media as carrying out this Marxist agenda, and their, well, I guess I should say their ties to Antifa, which the executive branch of our government is trying to get them labeled officially as domestic terror groups. They're saying, well, that's very difficult because we really don't have any guidance for labeling a domestic organization a terror group. Well, that's interesting. They sure didn't have a problem with it when they were trying to label conservatives and patriots as domestic terrorists, did they? But if nothing else, they're seditious. And this is, by all practical purposes and definitions of political warfare, it's an insurgency, what's taking place. You have the political branch, you have the military branch, and they're working in concert. It's an infiltration. It's clear that it's illegal. So, and it's not true that there is really no mechanism for declaring a domestic group a terrorist group. That's not true at all. But I wanted to bring your attention to a couple here that I didn't have time to get into yesterday. Downtrend.com was talking about the Antifa group, the Redneck Revolt. They have a training manual for violent revolution. Violent leftists have found fertile ground to take root in the United States after the election of President Donald Trump. Democrats have turned a blind eye, and of course so has the media, to black-clad hooligans roughing up Trump supporters like Nazis or Stalinists. And they're continuing to proliferate nationally. So now Antifa is splintering into subgroups, with one of them called Redneck Revolt, which, by the way, in Spokane, there is a group of Redneck Revolt, which is actually growing. They're putting out a training manual that builds upon the 1960s manifesto, The Anarchist Cookbook, to provide its members with tips and training to use against their enemies. It's called the Armed Antifa Group. This article here from the Daily Caller points out the Armed Antifa Group offers training manual on terrorism and guerrilla warfare. So, and so yet another organization here. I mean, another news outlet pointing this out. To facilitate these goals, revolution against the rise of what they call fascism, which, by the way, came about in Nazi Germany, if my research is correct. So to facilitate these goals of advocating for revolution against the rise of fascism, what they mean is anything that's not Marxist, anything that's not communist. To facilitate these goals, the group offers a variety of resources, including a training manual for conducting guerrilla warfare with sections for executions and terrorism. In the wake of the targeted shooting of Republican members of Congress earlier that year, was 2017, nothing's more concerning than the extremist organizations calling for armed revolts against civil society. Redneck Revolt. Antifa did. Yes, it originated from Nazi Germany. They're not now, nor have they ever been, for tolerance or peace. They are bullies intent on manipulating America to do their bidding through media, through violence, through protest, through shutting down the opposition by any means possible. And they actually use that terminology, by all means necessary or by any means necessary, right? The front of the manual specifically states, this is their manual. Now, this is from Uncle Sam's misguided children, this former veterans that are conservatives that are pointing these things out. We're saying the front of this manual that the Antifa Redneck Revolt group has, they got their hands on this, says specifically states not to give it to cis white males, non-POC or non-LGBTQ people. Cis is a term used for males who identify with their birth gender. So now we are cis males. Interesting. So from the Antifa manual, hatred of white males, the Antifa's hatred of white males is totally unreasoning since George Soros is a white male and he pays most of their bills. Africa was home to slavery for centuries. Blacks and Muslims who sell their own countrymen still practice the barbaric culture today. In many parts of Africa and the continent in the Middle East. We've seen pictures of some of the Antifa groups in which there are many white males. So what's the deal? This article goes on to say. But anyway, they point out that this manual, they're really supposed to be giving to LGBTQ and other Marxists, and don't give it to cis white males. You have to identify yourself as he or he, she, it. I don't know. They're a mess. And they're violent. And like I pointed out yesterday, I wanted to repoint this out because I think it's worth repeating. A time is coming when men will go mad and they will see someone who is not mad and they will attack him saying, "You are mad. You're not like us." That's a quote from St. Anthony. And so true. But what I wanted to point out was the article by Understanding the Threat. In wars, knowing the enemy, taking bold action are keys to victory. I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. But there are people who will help these collaborators. Some of them are in the church. I'm going to talk about that in segment four. But I was at a thrift store. You know, I love shopping at thrift stores. And I picked up a book. And I've seen this before. It's by Time Life. It's a Time Life series on World War II. And there was just one single book there titled The Resistance, talking about the resistance in World War II. Fascinating. It's like right down my alley, my kind of stuff. But there's a segment here where they were talking about people who actually helped the socialists who had invaded their country. Why would they help the enemy? What would motivate your fellow countrymen to help someone who wants to destroy your country and occupy it and own it and completely subvert everything that makes you, you, your identity, your American, your heritage, your whatever? Well, this is in Europe. So I found this page, Mixed Motives for Aiding the Occupiers. And I thought it's really insightful because it lets us know, look, there's nothing new under the sun, just like the Word of God says. People have always been who they are and how they are, and they still are. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. Even those who align themselves with those who are hostile against us and everything that we stand for, right? People that we thought were our friends, the people that will betray us because they have some type of advantage or some type of gain. So I wanted to share this with you. To patriots in occupied Europe, one of the most distasteful words in any language was collaborator. Many Europeans were driven into the ranks of the resistance, not so much by the German conquerors as by their countrymen who hurried forward to help the occupiers. As a French woman explained with bitter vehemence, quote, "Defeat we could accept, collaboration never." The collaborators who made that name anathema stigmatized themselves publicly with their cynicism and self-seeking. They were the leaders of the puppet governments. the anti-Semites, opportunists and thugs who volunteered for national security forces, the publishers who put a Nazi slant on the news in exchange for German subsidies, the authors, artists, and entertainers who used their skills for the benefit of the German Ministry of Propaganda. Some 300,000 people in occupied France alone were indicted after the war for such deeds. Now, there's a lot of talk about the potential for a new civil war in America. God forbid. We don't want it. We want to avoid it at all costs and seek peace at all costs, so much as we were able to. But if we're forced into it, it makes me wonder, when the new America emerges, how many of these people that helped bring our country to ruin or to war in the first place might be held accountable afterward for their actions? Just like here, 300,000 people in occupied France alone were indicted after the war for their collaboration with the enemy of their country. A much larger number of people collaborated in lesser ways, mostly just to survive. Women consorted with German soldiers. Unemployed laborers took jobs in factories churning out vital parts for the German war machine. Minor officials executed German orders to keep their posts. But a little cooperation was a dangerous thing, particularly in officialdom. Even if a man played along in hopes of being able to soften German policy, one compromise or concession often led to another, and another, and soon to full-blown collaboration. Recalled one member of the Vichy government. He said, "I saw men change and become corrupt. You could see before your eyes all the courage and loyalty that you knew to exist in someone melt away, crumble, and disappear." I have to say, I've seen this actually just recently with some of these attacks on conservative individuals in the news. At this early in the game, this is actually helpful to find out who's got the sand to stay in the fight and who's going to melt away. This early, when the stakes are still this low, it's good to know early who you can count on and who you can't. And people come forward that you didn't even know about, or you didn't know very well, or they've never been very active, that step forward and stand with you. And so this is very interesting that it's kind of heartening to see people melt away so quick, so early in this fight for America. But it's also probably a blessing in disguise. We do. We see them melt away, crumble, and disappear. I'll continue on. Last paragraph. As the fortunes of war turned against the Germans, the ranks of collaborators dwindled down to a hard core of men who had burned their bridges behind them. In desperation, these collaborators, some of them well-intentioned souls 4 years before, sound familiar? Struck out harder and harder against their countrymen who had taken the resistance route. They earned a name even worse than collaborator: traitor. We'll be right back. Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com and click on the Alerts USA banner.
One podcast dares to be different.
Welcome back to segment three of The Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the free zones across outside the wire into occupied territory. Have hope and keep your faith. Thank you guys for being out there and thank you for your support. I want to thank Strategic Landscape Design for their support and for sponsoring segment three. Strategic Landscape Design provide solutions and designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property. Whether you are in the process of looking for property and you want some expert help, looking for the key features such as sustainability for food production, water access, defensibility, whatever you're looking for, Strategic Landscape Design, whether you're in the American Redoubt or outside. They also have remote consulting services if you're outside the American Redoubt. But check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. And if you're in the area, you'll be able to see them at the Panhandle Preparedness Expo September 21st and 22nd. So you get a chance to meet them in person and ask them those questions. All right, continuing on with part three of The Enemy Within. The Enemies Within. We talked about Marxism quite a bit, and we've talked about before, we've talked about the counter state. And this is really important to bring up because what we're calling fake news and deep state is essentially very calculated propaganda and a counter state. And John Guandolo covers this very well over at understandingthethreat.com. I'll talk about him more in a little bit. This is kind of in the under the footsteps or on the heels of a story that just broke this week where two members of Congress, Omar and Tlaib, one from Ethiopian heritage. Somali? Anyway, both of them Muslims. Both of them have been very outspoken against Israel. And President Trump has taken a lot of heat for saying that they don't love America. They hate America. And the things they say about American heritage and our ideals, our heritage, and who we are as a nation, I would tend to agree with President Trump that Omar and Tlaib, both Muslims, do indeed hate America. And in fact, it's my personal assessment that they are carrying out this al-Hijra, the invasion, some infiltrating the system to with hopes of and a vision for carrying out the Muslim Brotherhood's vision of essentially overthrowing our government and replacing it with Sharia law. And this is their global dominance objective of Islam. It has been made so clear through documentation that has been discovered or leaked or openly stated by various different Muslim clerics who have said this is what it means to be a Muslim, and that is to advance Islam across the world, world domination, and also seeing some of the anti-American statements by this Omar and Tlaib this week. Israel, the Israel government, first started off at the beginning of the week denying these two Congress women entry into Israel, which made the left just absolutely go berserk. But there is really something going on within our own institutions, our government, halls of government, our media, academia, our entertainment industry. And John Guandolo, who is a U.S. Naval Academy graduate, He served as an infantry reconnaissance officer in the United States Marines and is a combat veteran. He served as a special agent in the FBI from 96 through 2008, and he was recruited out of the FBI by the Department of Defense to conduct strategic analysis of the Islamic threat. He is the president and founder of Understanding the Threat. Now, I actually got to attend a leadership conference in Arizona at Sheriff Arapeo's, at the Sheriff's Department. They had former CIA analysts and former FBI analysts and several other specialists in their fields describing the threats that are working to undermine and subvert America and to displace our government with a different system of governance, which is, as we pointed out, is unlawful. It is illegal. But he wrote an article this week called In Wars, Knowing the Enemy and Taking Bold Action Are Keys to Victory. And so I want to read part of this article with you, and I want to urge you to go to understandingthethreat.com, where this is extremely well articulated. We're talking about somebody who's an intelligence analyst who specifically studied the Islamic threat and is trying to share the information and has gotten railroaded because of it and attacked continuously. Today's Republican leaders around the United States, from local officials to governors to members of Congress to the national GOP leadership, have failed and refused to speak about the threat Islam poses to America and its citizens. With the exception of the president himself, Republicans have chosen to avoid controversy and conflict in order to find common ground in the issues America faces today. How do people who have sworn an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, find common ground with Marxists and jihadis? That's what I've been saying. Marxism calls for the destruction of Christianity and the overthrow of all governments not based in Marxism, the root of socialism and communism. That's because they want the state to be God. The state has to become the church, right? This totalitarian ideology necessarily destroys individual liberty and drives societies towards slavery and impoverishment, like it always has. Islam demands all humans on the planet submit to Allah's divine law, Sharia, voluntarily or through coercion. Those who do not submit must be killed. There is no other authoritative version of Islam taught anywhere at any Islamic school on earth, and there never has been. There are 1,400 years of history detailing Islam's destructive and barbaric path, yet, despite the evidence from many U.S. terrorism trials and the consistent pronouncements, plural, of Islamic leaders, revealing their significant and successful efforts in America to destroy our government and our way of life, then nearly all Republicans are silent. It's because they don't want to be called Islamophobes. They're afraid of being called names. Well, they're actually more than that. They're actually afraid of being targeted, the Saul Alinsky style of targeting, you know, to be destroyed. They are not only silent. Republicans such as John McCain, Mitt Romney, Marco Rubio attack those who speak truth about Islam, and or they tell us Islam is a peaceful religion that rejects violence. President G.W. Bush. Despite the fact Muslims teach Muslim children the exact opposite in the U.S. Islamic schools. When engaged in a war, the decision to avoid conflict and controversy is tantamount to surrendering. That is what the GOP has done across the board. The Democrat Party at the national level has embraced Marxism and is advancing its cause. Their actions are predictable and expected. The Islamic counterstate is in the U.S., works to overthrow America's constitutional republic and establish an Islamic state under Sharia per universal Islamic doctrine. No surprises, right? We've talked about this before. It's the Republican Party at the national and, in many cases, the state level which made a decision not to discuss Islam to avoid conflict. It is Republican governors, representatives, and senators who are sitting on their hands while enemies of the republic roll forward. The hour's late. The enemy is reaching the climax of their strategy. Meanwhile, no Republican leader is articulating the threat of the Marxist and Islamic counterstates, and the radical action needed to deal with them immediately. And I want to just insert this here. Not only are they not talking about it, the FBI, or not the FBI, someone in the FBI produced a document advocating the labeling of those who even talk about Marx, the counterstate, the Marxist Islamic counterstate, should be deemed domestic terrorists for adhering to or believing to or espousing such conspiracy theories, they say. But it's not a theory. It is a conspiracy. They are conspiring to carry this out. But it's not theoretical. It's practical. They are actually applying it, their strategy. The Titanic's two-thirds underwater. The Republicans are on the deck discussing fiscal policy. And it's true. And I wanted to go back a little bit further because some of the comments in his article pointed this out, that the previous president, who will not be named, said Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. That's a lie. Also, Hillary Clinton said, let's be clear, Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. Just letting that just sit there for a minute. Now, let's go back to 1996, where the First Lady breaks ground with Muslims. In a Los Angeles Times article, points this out. Mrs. Clinton is the first U.S. president's wife to address them anywhere besides the White House. She urges involvement in American political life. That's Hillary Clinton, back in 96, urging Islamists to become involved in American political life. These people have been involved in this for a long time. When we come back, I want to talk about another enemy within our church. And we were told this was going to happen, and now we're actually seeing it. And it's sad, but it's something that we have to confront. We cannot ignore. And so we're going to talk about it when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment four is brought to you by Works LLC. WERKZ.com is the website to learn more about how you can get your hands on your custom-made Kydex holster or magazine carrier made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. All right, segment four, we're going to burn this one out. I want to start off with a quote. A speech. This was an address to the Knights of Columbus in New York City in 1915 by Theodore Roosevelt. Doesn't matter what you think about him. This is what he said, and I completely agree. There is no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. When I refer to hyphenated Americans, I do not refer to naturalized Americans. Some of the very best Americans I have ever known were naturalized Americans, Americans born abroad. But a hyphenated America is not America at all. This is just as true of the man who puts native before the hyphen as of the man who puts German or Irish or English or French before the hyphen. Americanism is a matter of the spirit and of the soul. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance. But if he is heartily and singly loyal to this republic, then no matter where he was born, he is just as good an American as anyone else. The one absolutely certain way of bringing this nation to ruin, of preventing all possibility of its continuing to be a nation at all, would be to permit it to become a tangle of squabbling nationalities. An intricate knot of German Americans, Irish Americans, English Americans, French Americans, Scandinavian Americans, or Italian Americans, each preserving its separate nationality. Each at heart feeling more sympathy with Europeans of that nationality than with the other citizens of the American Republic. The men who do not become Americans and nothing else are hyphenated Americans, and there ought to be no room for them in this country. The man who calls himself an American citizen and who yet shows by his actions that he is primarily the citizen of a foreign land plays a thoroughly mischievous part in the life of our body politic. He has no place here, and the sooner he returns to the land which he feels his heart, his real heart allegiance, the better it will be for every good American. Theodore Roosevelt, 1915. Now, I wonder if he gave that speech today, what the left would say when he says anyone who is not has the whole complete allegiance to the United States has no place here. And the sooner he returns to the land to which he feels his real heart allegiance, the better it will be for every good American. They would have exploded. But see, they don't want to go back to their own country. They want to destroy America. America is the shining light on the hill, the beacon on the hill that they have to take down. They came here for a reason to take it down. They're continuing to come here for a reason to take it down. If you have not read Unconstrained Analytics article, the new report, Re-Remembering the Misremembered Left, the Left's Strategy and Tactics to Transform America, I think you should soon. One of the things they point out is that classical Marxism, dedicated to penetration and subversion, that relies on Hegelian processes to achieve its objectives. One of the points it makes in this article is that it seeks the destruction of Western culture. Now, when you see Western culture, I want you to read anti-Christian, because that's what is meant by taking down Western culture or preserving Western culture. It is Christian. That's what is meant. So don't think for a second we're worshiping Western culture and abandoning our citizenship in heaven. We're talking about the Western culture. We're talking about Christian culture. That's what's at stake here. That's what they're after. This is a Maoist insurgency doctrine. But when so-called Christians point to conservative Christian patriots like you and me who love our country, our Christian heritage, and our ideals and our values and wish to preserve them, they point to us and say, that's not what it means to be a Christian. That's not the Christ I know. We have people that are calling themselves Christians pointing to Christian patriots saying, you're not acting Christian. That's not the Christ I know. That's not what it means to be Christian. And when the newspapers give them print and credit, you have to ask why. Newspapers, media that's otherwise pushing a Marxist, pro-LGBT, Islamic, basically an anti-Christian agenda, allows someone who calls himself a Christian to come up there and scold other Christians. Before you give it any weight, when someone says, that's not very Christian. So you got two different sets of Christians pointing at each other. Who's right? Well, this is what you do. This is your litmus test. Who are they aligned with? What are their words? Are they speaking the same lines as the Marxists and using the same terminology? And twisting scripture to make their point? Because Marxism wasn't in the church until very recently. I want to point you to John 16:2 that says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." One day, Christian, true Christian patriots are going to be ran out of the churches, and they're going to be hunted down, and they're going to be killing them. That's where this narrative is taking things. They're already trying to create the narrative that Christian patriots who hold to traditional American ideals are domestic terrorists. They're setting up the narrative to kill you, to kill me, to kill us. So let's look at the leftist infiltration of the church and the great falling away. We've got several things that are going on. Chrislam, that's the merging of Christianity and Islam to try to come to an agreement and an understanding and recognize we all follow the same God, so we need to put down our differences. This is a lie. This is a satanic lie. Also, the LGBTQ infiltration into the church. How many churches we see now with rainbows on their signs saying we welcome all, we don't judge anyone, and this, you know, who are we to judge? And bringing in the LGBTQ community. If they're spouting open borders, supporting floods of refugees who refuse to assimilate and, in fact, often replace the American flag with their own home country's flag, they are not becoming GER. That's the sojourner, the foreigner that you see to say, well, you know, don't harm the foreigner. Take them in. Treat them as they're your own. The sojourner, the foreigner, the word is GER, G-E-R. What that means, that's different than an invader. That means someone who comes in, like Naomi did with Ruth's mother-in-law in the book of Ruth. Naomi said, I will come to your land. Your God will be my God. Your people will become my people. That's Ger. That's a foreigner, outsider, foreigner, who comes in to assimilate, to make our God their God, to make our culture their culture, our people their people, not to come burn our flag and raise their flag and defy our laws and refuse to become Americans. They're also infiltrating socialism into the church, making false parallels between nationalized socialism and the charity of Christianity, Christian charity. There's several really great articles that talk about this, but I want to point you to a couple of other scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:2-3 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and teaching, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, having itching ears." There's an article here over at Charisma News. I was just doing an internet search. I came across this, and I agree with this. This is what I was just talking about. A subversive effort. Oh, by the way, I don't know anything about Charisma News. But this article, whoever wrote this article, they're right on this part. A subversive effort by the left-leaning liberals to infiltrate the church and turn people away from the real gospel and the true doctrine is gaining momentum in this hour. The purpose of this agenda is to sway the church toward a radical political movement and the spread of socialism in our nation. It's social agenda, and these are the terms that they use or the doctrines that they follow. Even if they don't call it this, but they're even using this terminology increasingly: social justice, environment, sustainability, racism, white privilege, feeding the poor. They will use this terminology to persuade professing Christians into buying their bill of goods. Young people especially are being hoodwinked by these socialists. They will mention these buzzwords without even mentioning more biblical issues. Their language is always very nuanced and overt. They use leftist talking points dressed in Christian veneer. This is a really good one. Because of the church, we're talking about rewriting the word of God. Because the church is the last bulwark preventing their socialist ideology from becoming a reality, they're infiltrating the church in subtle ways. They operate through the peace movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, the women's movement, and the labor movement. They infiltrate our sacred institutions that people have considered safe. There are many examples of this. So now there's several books starting to come onto the market in the church. Here's one: Holy Terror, Lies the Christian Right Tells Us to Deny Gay Equality. Now they got their own Bible, right? Which I'll get to in a second. Here's another one: Calling the Rainbow Nation Home. a picture of a rainbow over a church. This is blasphemy. God and the gay Christian, the biblical case in support of same-sex relationships. This is the garbage that's infiltrating the Christian community. So now they have the Queen James Bible, right? And this is what the website and the publisher states. The Queen James Bible resolves any homophobic interpretations of the Bible, but the Bible is still filled with inequality and even contradiction that we have not addressed. They haven't fixed God's word yet. The website notes, no Bible is perfect, including this one. We wanted to make a book filled with the word of God that nobody could use to incorrectly condemn God's LGBT children, and we succeeded. That's what they wrote. Now, there is a effort right now, and they have their own website called Christians Against Christian Nationalism. Christian nationalism, which, of course, they're trying to make synonymous with white nationalism, is just going to be this evil, hateful thing to have this idea that we were a Christian nation, or that if we were, we should correct that wrong and stop being a Christian nation. Right? They're saying, as Christians, our faith teaches us everyone is created in God's image and commands us to love one another. As Americans, we value our system of government. No, you don't. And the good that can be accomplished in our constitutional democracy. Fail. They don't even understand this is a constitutional republic. It is not a democracy. But it's this should be no surprise. Today, we're concerned about a persistent threat to both our religious communities and our democracy, Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism seeks to merge Christian and American identities. Well, no, Christian and American identities were synonymous. What you've done is torn them asunder, and you're fearful of them being reunited again. Christian and American being our identity. Distorting both the Christian faith and America's constitutional democracy. Well, there's a distortion right there. So that's the kind of stuff that we're up against. That's what's infiltrating our church. But they say, whether we worship at a church, mosque, synagogue, or temple, America has no second-class faiths. All are equal under the U.S. Constitution. Well, they're not all equal in God's eyes. And the founding of our Constitution is replete with evidence that the Bible inspired the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But I digress. As Christians, we must speak in one voice condemning Christian nationalism as a distortion of the gospel of Jesus and a threat to American democracy. Okay, Christian nationalism, or the idea that the United States was and should be again a Christian nation, is a threat to American democracy. Because an American republic is inherently a threat to an American democracy. This is not new. We've seen, I remember in World War II reading some of these. I don't remember World War II. I remember reading about stories of World War II. And how there was a divide in the church. There were Protestants who supported the Nazi regime, and there were those who stood against it. And those people who supported it, they supported National Socialism, were pointing to those who were opposed to the Nazis, and they're saying that you're opposed to National Socialism and being generous and kind and giving to everybody, and if you go against the government, then you're going against God, and you must embrace and support Nazism. And the Christians, there were Christians who were actually berated by other so-called Christians for not supporting the Nazi Party. Socialism, National Socialism. And now we have the same threat, National Socialism, advancing in the United States, infiltrating the church, and people that are standing up saying, I'm a Christian, and what you're doing is not Christian. And if you stand opposed to this National Socialism, you're full of hate. And you're also opposing the government, which is untrue. We're opposing the people who have hijacked the Constitution, and we want to replace them with people that will adhere to it again. We're pro-government. We're pro a government being chained to its constitutional prison. But early on, I'll close with this. Early on, Confessing Church member Martin Niemöller and two Protestant bishops met with Hitler and his top aides. The religious leaders reaffirmed their support for Hitler's domestic and foreign policies and asked only for the right to disagree on religious matters. Hitler did not compromise. After the meeting, both the bishops signed a statement of unconditional loyalty to Hitler. Niemöller did not. As a result, Niemöller was increasingly targeted by the Nazis, the socialists, the National Workers' Socialist Party, the Nazis. He was eventually imprisoned for 7 years in concentration camps. Although about 7,000 of the nation's 16,500 Protestant clergymen openly supported the confessing church, which is those who they were not necessarily aligned with the Nazi party. They openly supported the confessing church. They limited their opposition to defending church teachings against Nazi influence. One member of the confessing church, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, did resist the actions of the Nazis more broadly. In April of 1933, he professed sympathy for Jewish victims of Nazism and argued that National Socialism and Christianity were incompatible. I stand with this pastor. I've got three or four of his books. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great man. He stood against National Socialism and against the Nazis. He stood for his faith. He stood for the Word of God, where people were distorting the Word of God, trying to advance socialism, calling it a Christian principle. But listen, he professed sympathy for Jewish victims of Nazism, and he argued that National Socialism and Christianity were incompatible. And what, 75 years later, 68 years later, I stand with him in that National Socialism and Christianity are incompatible. I don't care what they call me. I don't care if they say I'm full of hate. I don't care. Marxism, communism, socialism, Islam are inherently anti-American, and they're anti-constitution, and they're anti-Christian. The American Constitution cannot exist side by side. There must be a conflict. One has to give way to the other. We have a guarantee clause. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect. The federal government's bound to protect. They're duty bound to protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Article 4, Article 3, Section 4. It's called the guarantee clause. We're guaranteed a republic, a republican form of government. And that was put in place by godly men, Christian men. This is not a constitutional democracy. So when somebody points at you and says, you're not acting Christian, that's not Christian, that's not the Christ I know, you are out of line, you're evil, you're bad, you're full of hate, who are their friends? Look on social media, and who are they sharing information with and carrying on conversations with? Is it indivisible? Is it atheists? Is it pagans? Marxists? Are they hanging out with media, with leftist media who have ties to journalists who have ties to communist revolutionaries like Antifa? As a person who's calling himself a Christian, hanging out with those kind of people telling you that you're wrong and the way you're acting is not very Christian-like, that you're evil? That's the measure. And if you know that what you stand for is right, you don't waver, you don't budge, you don't give up, you don't stop. You strengthen yourself, turn to the Word of God, turn to friends and edify one another and strengthen one another. And when you know you're on the right side, you don't compromise. So hopefully you guys can meditate on that over this week. I'm talking about The Enemies Within, part 3. And this is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.